Morning, we'll be ready to go. Daf Nun Vav in Menachos. Start with the Mishnah. We're back on Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and we're at the bottom of the Amud. Then we start with a new Mishnah today. Kol Menachos Niloshim Bet Poshrim or Mishamen Shelo Yachmitzu. So there's a by all the Menachos. So it's needed in warm water. Warm water is a little bit strange. Generally speaking, the Gemara Pesachim tells us that warm water actually accelerates the chametz process. So, the Gemara Pesachim tells us that when we knead dough on Pesach in order to make matzah, so you have to use water that was left overnight. Maim shalanu. Right, the Gemara over there writes that some Amoraim thought that meant our water. Doesn't mean our water. It means Maim Shalanu that actually rested overnight. You don't want it. You want it to become of a colder temperature. Right, not too hot, not too cold, but certainly not warm. And here in the world of Menachos, he uses warm water. Okay, so that is a little bit.
The kosher was not warm. It was kind of like temperature.
Lukewarm. I think they say. Okay, so, but anyway, whatever the case is, again, we go back to the general rule that all menachos cannot be chametz, it has to be matzah. In fact, there's an iser for any person to make a mincha into chametz, again, with the two exceptions of the lach mitoda and the shtei lachem, but barring those two exceptions, there's an iser to make it into chametz. So the Mishnah says that it's needed with warm water, lukewarm water, mishamram shalei yachmitzu, and it's protected and it's guarded that it does not become chametz. Imhechmitzu shireha. Now, what if it becomes chametz? Now, the Mishnah here is going to focus on the shirayim, on the remnants, meaning, right? The Mishnah is interested in providing us a chiddush, a novel idea, right? We understand. We read chumash and we understand that there's an iser for the mincha to become chametz. The Torah says, "Lo sefe chametz, lo sochal chametz." Don't bake it into chametz. Don't eat it as chametz. So for the Mishnah to just simply say it can't become chametz, that we already have the Torah for. What the Mishnah wants to introduce us to is the idea that even by the Shirayim, the chametz for sure can't be chametz. But even by the Shirayim, if I let the Shirayim sit and become chametz, it also is going to be an issue as well. And then the Mishnah says, consider the following. Consider that you're going to be chayev for any act that results in it being chametz. Meaning, lisha, kneading the dough. Aricha, literally arranging the dough, organizing the dough. I guess it means like braiding, but they didn't necessarily braid their mincha, but shaping and forming it, and finally alafiyasa and baking it. Okay, so any one of these acts is going to be a maisa, considered an action, punishable by malchus, meaning this is one of the low sases in the Torah, the negative prohibition in the Torah. So therefore, any one of these acts is going to come with it a lav, a negative prohibition, which results in malchus. And the Gemara is going to be exceedingly clear. The Gemara is going to tell us that even if one person were to do one act after another, so you know he gets rung up for the kneading, for the arranging, for the baking. We'll see more of that in the Gemara. Minani Mila, the Gemara starts off the discussion on Reish Lakish Amakar Lo Se'afei Chametz Chalkam. The Minani Mila, the Gemara says, how do I know this? Specifically, the Gemara is asking about the Shirayim. How do I know by the Shirayim there's going to be an Isser of allowing it to become Chametz? So the Gemara says, Lo Se'afei Chametz Chalkam. We do this in the world of Drush a lot. We just simply move a comma over. Here we are moving the comma over. The comma is lo se'afei chametz, comma, chalkam nasati, I gave the portion to, but the Gemara takes the word chalkam and attaches it to the word lo se'afei chametz, and it reads, don't let even their portion become chametz. Lo se'afei chametz chalkam, apilu chalkam lo se'afei chametz. V'hai la'achudasa ha'mi bai le'lechadetayna. So the Gemara now goes into its accounting, which is, I already used this pasuk for a drasha. Once I used it, once this pasuk has already occupies space for a drasha, so then no vacancy. There should be no room for any other drasha. What other drush did we use this pasuk for? Top of the next amud, lo se'afei chametz, matam alamar velo kvar nemar, lo se'asei chametz. What is the Torah trying to drive at by saying lo se'afei chametz? The Torah already tells us that I'm not allowed to make it into chametz. If lo se'afei chametz yachlo yichayev ela achas akulam. If all I had was the pasuk of lo se'afei chametz, I might have thought that there's only one lav, there's only one negative violation. Even if I do everything, I knead, I arrange, I bake, I might think there's only one lav. Tam alama lo se'afei afia bechlal haisa. Meaning baking is just a stage. It's just a part of the process. Lama yatsa. So why does the Torah go out of its way to say, and baking? Lahakish aleha, to create a hekesh. Ma afia miyuchedesh yimase yechidi. V'chayaven aleha b'fnei atzma. Af ani avi. Lishasa v'archisa. V'chol maase yechidi. Sheba la'asuye kituf. Any part of the process. Any significant part of the process, what the Gemara refers to as Maisa Yechidi, a singular act, meaning as long as it is a singular act, as long as it is a significant action, right, for sure kneading, for sure baking, even kituf. Well, what does that mean? Rashi on the top of the page says, Machlik Panah B'mayim, you smooth out the edges. Using a little water, you smooth out the edges. For those of you who bake, you probably understand this better than I do. So Afa Gavdala Maisa Kolkach, it's not as significant an act, but it's still a Maisa Yechid, it's a singular act. Shu Maisa Yechid v'chayav v'fnei atzma. So, good. So we have just now learned that the Lo Se'afei Chametz is coming to tell me that for every singular act you're going to be chayav. So what bothers the Gemara now is that previously the Gemara opened up the whole discussion by saying, I need this Pasuk to teach me about even the Shirayim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? I have this halacha that's actually derived from this pasuk, so how can I learn out another halacha? Answers the Gemara, Anan michalkam ka'amrinan. No, you misunderstood. You're right. Lo se'afei chametz is coming to tell me that every single act you're going to be chayav. But the juxtaposition of lo se'afei chametz right next to the word of michalkam, that gets us to the point that even the Shirayim, the Eimakula Lachudasa, the Gemara says, okay, why don't you make the argument that the entire pasuk is coming to teach me about the Shirayim? Imkin lechtav kra chalkam lo se'afei chametz. My lo se'afei chametz chalkam shama minitarte. From the way that the pasuk could have formulated itself, and from the fact that how it actually does, the Torah could have just simply said chalkam lo se'afei chametz. Torah could have just been as direct as possible. Don't bake their portion, meaning the Shirayim that goes to the Kohanim. Don't bake their portion. The Chametz Torah could have just simply said that. It didn't. It said, Lo se'afei chametz, chalkam. So we have two halachas that we're going to learn out. One halacha, which is for every singular act involved in the baking process, I'm going to be chayev. Plus, if I even allow just the Shirayim to become chametz, I'm going to be chayev as well. Ve'ema. And now the Gemara goes into very technical mode, meaning we are now, the Gemara is going to spend nearly an amud of Gemara talking about other methodologies of how to darshan the pasuk and why the Gemara did not opt with other methodologies. Ema, afia de parat barachman lechayev chada. Inach lechayev chada akulu. So the Gemara says, why don't we argue like this? Now, you know every one of these arguments is going to end up getting rejected, but the Gemara is a laboratory, and in the laboratory of the Gemara just wants to know, why didn't we go in other directions? So why don't we suggest that for baking, it's one lav, and for everything else collectively, it's a second lav. Meaning, that's not what we're saying. We're saying it's for every maisa yechidi, for every individual act, even just smoothing out the edges with water. For every act you're going to be a lav. The Gemara says, I don't know. Why don't we just simply say, for baking it's one lav, and for everything else collectively, because think about it, everything else collectively was not spelled out by the Torah. Torah only spelled out baking. So maybe it's baking one lav, everything else a second lav. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum dahavid avishayah b'chlav yetzam nakol amed. Because one of the yugimu midusha Torah nejashas by him. This one is, we don't see that often. Right? It is davar. Davar shehaya bechlal, something which was already included, meaning baking's included, right? If the Torah talks about making a mincha, part of making a mincha is baking it. So baking is haya bechlal, was part of the whole process. The yatzam in a klal, and the Torah says, it goes out of its way to talk about baking by itself. Lamed lo lamed lo atzma yatzah. Don't think that it's just about baking. I'm sorry, it's coming to talk about everything, meaning every step of the process is going to contain in it its own liability, its own prohibition. That is the rule of davar shahaya bechlal. Okay, something that was part of the general rule and taken out, it's not talking about. That's talking about all the other things as well. So the Gemara says, how come we didn't do it this way? How come we didn't go klal uprat? Meaning, lo sa'afei, that's a generality. And then the Torah says, lo sa'afei, don't bake it. So maybe the Torah's going klal uprat, ein shebeklal ela ma shebeprat. Right? That the prat is a definition, and it means nothing else. Afia in midach min alo. And that would then lead us to the conclusion that you're only going to be liable for baking and for nothing else. Amar Rav Afturiki, Mishum Dabek Klalopan, Merchakim Zembizeh. So the Gemara in this discussion says, well, you know we're not going to do that because in order for it to be a Klaloprat, it has to be next to one another. Meaning we only darshan Klaloprat when they're actually side by side. The words lo sa'asei and lo sa'afei are not side by side in the Torah. V'chol Klaloprat, Merchakim Zembizeh, Ein Danan Oso, Beklal Uprat. And now, the Gemara is going to be spending the remainder of this Amud up to the top of the next Amud discussing whether this is in fact true. Right? We obviously, you see how the Gemara is now segueing from one point to another point, and this is going to take us on a little bit of a tangent now, as we're going to see, is this true? If the two are not next to each other, the klal and the prat next to each other, we just leave it alone and we don't darshan as klal uprat. Let's see if this is in fact correct. Says the Gemara like this: Meisav Rav Ada bar Abba Varmi LaKedi, uklal uprat merchakin zemizayin danan oso. Is that really true? Ein danan oso beklal uprat behatanya. We learned the following brisa. Now all this should have some sort of familiarity. We did basically this entire brisa back in the world of Zvachim. You shecht it the seir of the king. King sins. He's got his own special chatas mentioned in the fourth parak of Sefer Vayikra, and the Torah says you shecht it b'shachat oso b'makom asher yishachet ha'ola, in the same place where you shecht the ola. Now, where's the ola shechted? In the azara, north side of the azara. Where's the chatas of the king shechted? North side of the Azara, right? Yisheri shechad ha'ola lefnei Hashem. Chatzasu hechan ola nishchata b'tzafa navzeh b'tzafa. The Gemara says, really, that Torah has to tell us that? V'chi anu mikan lameidim? This is what the Torah needs to tell us, that the chatzas of the king needs to be shechted in the north side. Kahal lo kvar nemar. We know this already. B'makom asher tishachet ola, tishachet ha'chatas. You go one parsha later, you go to parsha tzav, and the Torah is very clear, the chatas is shechted, the same place where the ola is shechted, in the north side of the Azara. So why, by the seir of the king, does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell us that the chatas of the seir of the melech is shechted in the north? Halam is a yavsa, lekovash yim lo shachar asa b'tzafon, paslam. So, paslo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Torah is coming to tell us this, that if I didn't shecht it in the north, it's not just nice to shecht it in the north, it's essential. If I don't shecht it in the north, I've disqualified it. So the Gemara says, or maybe the point of the Torah is, this chatas requires to be shecht in the north, but no other chatas. Zebanav, the Gemara says, this is a binyan of it. It serves as a precedent. L'kol chatas shetun and tzafon. Time of the kasav rachmana, so now the Gemara reflects on what just happened. Time of the kasav rachmana v'shachatas achatas. The Torah, since the Torah uses superfluous words of v'shachatas achatas, we therefore make an about face and we say that it actually is precedent setting. Sets a precedent. Halav hachi, but had that not happened, hava amina shezeh ta'on tzafon, vein acher ta'on tzafon. We were prepared to entertain Had it not been for the superfluous words, we were very prepared to entertain that this required suffon, but no other carbon required suffon. Now, my time on. How were we about to get to that point? Okay? Right? This is, let me just make sure that we're all on the same page. Right? The analysis of this Braisa is based on what the Braisa was prepared to do, which is conclude that only this chatas requires north, but no other chatas requires north. But then we have the extra words of v'shachatas achatas b'makam asher shachatas ha'olah. But had it not been for those extra words, we were ready to say that. And the Gemara now is going to explain to us, because the Braisa really didn't explain to us, how were we ready to do that? Based on what limud, based on what methodology, were we going to say that only this chatas and no other chatas requires the north side? So this is now where the Gemara is going to make its point that a uklal, even if there are meruchakim zemizeh, even if they're not right next to one another, you could still darshan. So my time alav mishum da haviklalu prat va'afa gafne meruchakim zemizeh danan osa bechalal prat. So the Gemara now is arguing, oh, it must be because it's klalu prat, and here this klalu prat is not next to one another, and yet we were ready to employ it. Had it not been for the Riboy. So, but you see though, it's an interesting argument. It's not, the Braisa doesn't say it straight out, but the Gemara is ascertaining that that probably is what's at work over here. Maska fala ravashi, hai kala pradu, prat uklal hu, venasa klal, mosif ala prat, vis rabbele kol mili. So, Ravashi says that it can't be. It can't be. Because the way the Torah is formulated is not klal uprat, but just the opposite, prat uklal. And we know that when it comes prat uklal, when it comes specific to generality, the generality expands, not contracts. So it's just, in other words, your argument is not right just simply based on the order that the Torah lays it out for us. The Torah gives us a specific and then talks in generality. So that's prat uklal. And elatana oso kakashile. So the Gemara says that we're going to have to give a totally new pshat in the Braisa, and the pshat will go like this. V'hachi kamar. Ein ol shezer ta'on safon v'ein achir ta'on safon. The kasa rachmana oso. So the Gemara says, no, you know what the Braisa was ready to jump on? Not the klal uprat, because it's not a klal uprat, it's a prat uklal. But rather on the fact that the Torah says the words oso, if you look back up, and you look at the first citation in Vayikra, it says Veshachat Oso B'makam Asher Yishachat HaOlam, and you shecht it. We know Oso is a miut; it's an exclusionary word, and so therefore, I would have thought, had it just said Veshachat Oso, that this and only this chatos requires north, but all other chatos does not require north. Okay, that's what I would have said. And then along comes the extra words of v'shacharas achatas b'malkam asher yishacher ha'olah, and that comes to teach me that no, every chatas is shecht up in the north. Good. Period. Now, as long as we're here, the Gemara will finish up the whole sentence by telling us, good. Now that we know that we were ready to darshan the extra word oso, what do we actually do with that word oso? How do we actually darshan the word oso? So, v'hashad denafkalemi v'shacharas achatas oso lemutimai. What's the oso coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, oso b'tzafon ve'ein tzir nachsham b'tzafon. Oh, well, this requires the north, but you know that goat that's brought by Nachshon? Now Nachshon over here actually refers to Nachshon ben Aminadav. Mm-hmm. We all know that at the inauguration of the Mishkan, right, in the Midbar, so the Nesiim brought their karbanos, right? And they brought every karban. They brought a ola, a shlamim, a chatas. A chatas, well, what did they do wrong? So, you know, Rashi, if you actually look at Rashi over there in the Parshas Noso, so Rashi makes a suggestion, but the Gemara always assumes that this is not a real chatas. It's a, I'll say it, it's ceremonial. Yeah. It's a ceremonial chatas, right? No. Got to be careful, right? An inaugural chatas, exactly. I think it's better. It's a better way to say it, right? It's an inaugural chatas. So the point is that chatas doesn't have to be shecht in the north. Veinzer nachshu mitzafon. Saka da chamina hol v'srabi l'inyan smicha l'srabi nami l'inyan tzafon. So look, the Gemara says you could have argued, you know, that chatas of nachshon requires smicha, right? Usually, and it makes the chatas even more difficult to understand, because usually when you do smicha, that's when you do vidui, that's when you do confession. And what's nachshon confessing? I confess that it's a chatas. It's going to be a little bit strange, but
don't all karbanos of an individual require smicha,
right?
So therefore, maybe that's why it's coming, as opposed to the fact.
Right. Very possibly. And so look, it has some areas of halacha where it's like a real chatas.
Right.
So I might have thought that it also requires an oath as well. But smicha gufa minalan. And how do I know that the chatas of nachshon ben amidav requires smicha detanya? V'samachya do rosh ha'seir. And you do smicha al rosh ha'seir, over the head of the goat.
It says here giving praise to Hashem, so you could do it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm saying he won't do vidu. That's all. It's not the end of the world that there's no vidu to be done. But it is just strange. But anyway, according to Rav Yehuda, we have a ribui here in this pasuk, and it's coming to include that even nachshon's chatas requires smicha. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer l'rabos siirei avodas kochavim l'smicha. The seir of avodah zara is also, and smicha needs to be performed on such an animal. So good. So you have a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, but at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, nachshon's chatas requires smicha. I would have thought that nachshon's chatas also required suffon as well. That's what the Oso is coming to teach us, that nachshon's chatas does not require smicha. The Gemara says, what? Maskif la Ravina, Tenach la Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Ma'ika la Meimar. So first of all, this approach that we just offered, that this is all about Nachshon's carbon, that's only going to be true according to Rav Yehuda. But what if you're Rav Shimon? Because according to Rav Shimon, his carbon doesn't require smicha, so it's not a regular chatas. So according to him, I wouldn't even entertain that it should be done in the north. So Michael Amemar, so I'm like Mazucha, but Breder of Marla Ravina, the Rav Yehuda Nami, my dis Rabbi is Rabbi, my Delois Rabbi, Lois Rabbi, and look, even according to Rav Yehuda, yes, his carbon requires smicha. So in that regard, it's like a regular chatas. But as far as shechting up in the north, maybe not. Maybe it's not a regular chatas. So, and the Gemara says, and why don't we just simply derive it through a regular binyanav? The Gemara says, look, as far as the carbon of nachshon is concerned, that's a carbon sha'a. That is not a generational carbon. That was the one-time inauguration of the temple. And since that's it, so there's nothing to be derived from it. Sha'a midoros lo yafina. So now that we've said all that, so we're really back to square one, meaning that the word oso is coming to exclude something. So we suggested, well, it's coming to exclude the carbon of nachshon ben amidav. But it's apples and oranges. His carbon is a one-time historical event, and that's not where we're going to derive halacha either to or from. So the Gemara says, Ella Oso. So the Gemara says, good. So we're going to go in a different path. Oso tal himself in Ve'ena Shochet Omeid Mitzafon. So the Gemara says, we're going to convert it to a discussion of north, meaning the Shechter. The Shechter himself doesn't have to be in the north. You can have it where the one who's shechting the carbon, even though it's a chatas, and even though it's an ola, and even though it needs to be shecht in the north, but only the animal has to be in the north. So, if we're going to make a demarcation line right in the center of the azara, you can have the animal being on the north side of this line, of this equator, if you will, and the kohen could be on the south side of this equator line, and that would be okay. Now, contrast that to other areas of avoda. For example, by Kabbalah Adam, the receiving of the blood, by a chatas, by an ola, everyone has to be in the north, both animal and collector, the one who's actually collecting the blood. So the Gemara, yeah, that would be the Kohen. That's correct. So the Gemara says, okay, but this halacha is not generated by the word Oso. This halacha is taught to us by Rabbi Achia. The Tanya we learned on a brace, Rabbi Achia Omer, V'shachar Oso Yerucham is Bech Tzafona. You shecht it on the north side. We know that by Kabbalah Saddam also has to be done in the north. And we also know, we learned this back in Zvachim, this is a Braisa, that if he's not standing in the north for Kabbalah Saddam, no good. Disqualified. Yachlaf Zekain, I might have thought the same thing is true by Shechit, Tamalomar, Osa. So we learn out from the words v'shachar oso al yerachem izbeach, that only the animal has to be in the north, not the shochet, not the actual person who sheps. So elo oso b'tzaf v'ein. I'm sorry. So fine. So now that we have the drusha of Rabbi Achia, so we don't need the drusha of oso mentioned by the par by the, I'm sorry by the seir hamelech. So we're really back to the original question. What is derived from the word Oso mentioned by the Seir of the king? The pasuk says, going all the way back to the beginning of the discussion, V'shachat Oso b'makam asher yishchat ha'olah. Right. So what's the Oso coming to teach us? The Gemara said maybe it's coming to teach us about the Seir of Nachshon. The Gemara says no, it's not. The Gemara suggests maybe it's coming to tell us that the Shochet doesn't have to be in the north, but we already learned that halacha based on the Braisa of Rabbi Achia. So the Gemara now makes, I know this is a long tangent, I'm well aware. So the Gemara says, "Ela oso b'tzafon ve'ein ben of b'tzafon." Well, maybe it's coming to tell us like this: the animal has to be in the north, but when you shech the bird, even though it's an ola sa'of, that doesn't have to be in the north. Salkadat chamina leisa b'kavachomer mi ben son ma ben son shelo kavala koin kavala tzafon. Look, the Gemara is going to make a very simple kavachomer logical deduction. An animal doesn't even need to be shechted by a Kohen. It could even be a non-Kohen shechting an animal, and yet there's this requirement of north. Ben of, shekavla Kohen, ain't odin shenikba lo tzafon, bird which has to be shechted by a Kohen. So we ratchet up the halacha. It has to be shechted by a Kohen. Don't you think it needs to be shechted in the north? So ma'la ben tzon, sorry. So that's the kavachomer. And so therefore, the Oso is coming to tell us, that's a great kavachomer, don't make it. Don't make the kavachomer. A bird can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. How do I know that? The word Oso. So the Gemara says, I'm not so crazy even about the Kavachomer. Mala ben son shekein kavalo kli. What do you mean? When it comes to shechting an animal, you need a kli. That's called a knife. When you shecht a bird, you don't need a kli. That's the Kohen doing the job. Ela oso b'tzafon ve'in pesach b'tzafon. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's try a different avenue. Right, this is the fourth avenue we're down. Okay, what are we doing with that word Oso? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it goes like this: a chatas is shecht in the north, but not the Karban Pesach. Not the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach isn't even a chatas. Karban Pesach is not an ol. It's a shlamim. Why would I have thought otherwise? Pesach midir Rav Elazar ben Yaakov nafke detanya Rav Elazar ben Yaakov or miyachol yeh Pesach taun tzafon. I might have thought, says Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, yes, the same one who says that it has to be eaten by midnight. I might have thought that the Karban Pesach needs to be shecht in the north. Why? Vidinu. Ma'ola shelo kavalo zman b'shechitaso kavalo tzafon. Pesto shekavalo zman l'shechitaso eino din shekavalo tzafon. Because the Torah is demanding the time you have to shecht the Karban Pesach, which is the 14th day of Nisan, specifically in the afternoon. The Gemara says, really, that's a kavachomer? Ma'ola shekein kalil. And Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. That's not true about the Karban Pesach. It's a strange kavachomer. Gemara says, it's not strange, I just don't understand it. Mechatas. Well, maybe we could derive it from the Karban Chatas. Gemara says, that's also strange. Malachatas, shekei mechaperas al chai v'kristus. A Chatas provides, Kapar provides atonement. How are you deriving, how are you making kavachomer from Chatas to Karban Pesach? Gemara says, I don't understand that. May Asham. So the Gemara makes a third try. Well, maybe we'll make a kavachomer from an Asham. Ma'ala Asham shekein kashi kachim. And the Gemara then finally points out, which is a point we could have made. We've been doing this for a while, right? Mikulunam shekein kashi kachim. You can't learn out from your chatas, your ola, your asham. They're all in the category of kachi kachim. A carbon pesach is a shlamin. So what derivation are we making from kachi kachim to shlamin? Elol olam kide ka'aminan mi'ikara. Okay, so the Gemara says, no. That's four no's. Right? We tried four times to learn something from the word oso, mentioned by the seir of the Nasi, why the Torah says it needs to be shechel north, it meaning to the exclusion of what? We tried, right, the carbon of Nachshon, we tried the halacha of Shechita, we tried the halacha of Oph, we tried the carbon Pesach. And the Gemara says, no, meaning I don't need a drasha. So, okay, so we're going to go back to one of our aborted attempts. We're going to go back to the halakha of the shochet. The shechter doesn't need to be in the north. Now, why don't we like that? We didn't like it simply because we had another place where we derived that halakha from, notably the braisa of Rabbi Achia. Mm-hmm. So you're going to tell me, didn't we learn that already from the braisa of Rabbi Achia? Rabbi Achia lav lemute shochet b'tzafon hudasa ela hachikamer ena shochet b'tzafon aval mekabel b'tzafon. So the Gemara says Rabbi Achia, he wasn't even focusing on Shechita. He just wanted to make it clear that the Kabbalah needs to be done while the Mekabah, while the one who is receiving, needs to be in the north. He wasn't focusing on Shechita and that the Shochet doesn't have to be in the north. He was just talking about the second step, the step of Kabbalah. There the Mekabah has to be in the north. So Mekabah milakach v'lakach nafka. So the Gemara says, but didn't we learn that halacha through the extra vav of vilakach, lakach, vilakach lamash malay? That extra vav didn't do it for him. Meaning he didn't darshan. We just had this the other day. An extra vav. Some Tanayim feel is drasha worthy. Some Tanayim feel it's not drasha worthy. And the Gemara says Rabbi Achia is of that latter group. He doesn't feel the vav of vilakach is drasha worthy. Therefore, the he needs a drasha just to tell me that the Mekabel himself the Mekabel does need to be in the north, the one receiving the blood. The Shochet, however, he wasn't talking about that halacha at all. So how do I know that the Shochet doesn't have to be in the north? We learn that from the word Oso, period.
You already said the first time, like, when you first started the whole thing.
Okay, so but the actual source of the halacha comes from the word Oso. Okay, why should it be that the Shochet doesn't have to actually be standing in the north? Mm-hmm. So we could connect it, it's a simple connection, to the idea that we all know that Shechita is not Navoda, right? The act of Shechita is not Navoda. The Torah, for whatever reason, demands that the animal of an Ola Chatzos or Nashem, since it's Kodesh HaKadoshim, has to be in the north, but the Shochet, the one who actually shechs it, it's not Navoda, and Rashi always connects it to the idea that, you see, Kohanim don't have to shecht. So therefore, Shechita is not Navoda. So therefore, the actual Shechita does not have to, I'm sorry, the actual Shochet, the one Shechting, doesn't actually have to be standing in the north side of the Azara. Period. End of that extraordinarily long tangent. All that because the Gemara quoted the Braisa that said, we were ready to make a Kala Prat, even though they're Meruchakim Zemizeh, even though they're not next to one another. Which the Gemara anyway dismissed because that wasn't a klal uprat, that was just the opposite. It was prat uklal. Okay, good.
Well, one side question. The north is the Yehuda section?
In terms of the Azara, no, it doesn't. The line that goes and divides the Shvatim is a line that goes down. It's
goes
not,
down.
Yeah.
It doesn't go diagonal.
Right. And it cuts, it does make a cut after the Mizbeach. Right, so that the section of Yesod, wherever there's no Yesod, is not part of the Binyamin section.
Okay, there's no Yesod, it's Binyamin section.
Where there is no Yesod, no, I think where there's no Yesod, there's no, that's Yehuda section.
Oh, okay.
I think. Okay, let's go on. V'chayev al ishasa v'al erichasa v'al afiyasa. Okay, good. Okay, in the in the Mishnah, so you get a lav for every step of the way. Okay? The Mishnah says that you're going to be chayev. Chayev over here is a liability, and it's a self-standing liability, which means that if there's somebody standing there warning you and saying to you, you know, this is a mincha that you're preparing, you can't make it chametz. And when we say can't make it chametz, we mean every step of the way. You can't knead it and help the chametz process, the fermentation process, while kneading it. And you can't arrange it, and you can't bake it. And every step along the way is its own lav, it's its own negative prohibition.
Rabbi, we still speak about Shiraim?
We're speaking about Shiraim, we're also speaking about the whole thing as well. The Chiddush in the Mishnah is that even the Shiraim is subject to the lav. But the whole Mincha, though, is subject to the lav.
At what point at each step Shiraim would be? At what point? And I'm saying if you...
Right, just give me a moment. I'm sorry. So Rav Papa has the following chiddush. If I bake it, meaning, and that's all I do, I just bake it, so that's two sets of malchus. Right? Even though all I did was just bake it. So lo kishtayim achas al rechasava achas al afiyasa. Why? Because I'm going to get one set of malchus for arranging and one for baking. Now that's of course difficult to understand.
78 lashes for this?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a lav. It's a negative prohibition. So all negative prohibitions are met with the same consequence of malchus. Okay. I mean, you get malchus for shaving with a razor. I mean, it's a lav. It's a negative prohibition. There's no, the Torah just simply does not make any type of sliding scale when it comes to a lav. A lav is a lav. Here, it's two lavim. It's one lav for baking, and there's another lav for aricha. Now, how do you understand that? Because all the person did was just bake. So Rashi over here presents this Gemara, and Rashi writes, let me find it. Right, here it is. It's a short Rashi. It's above where we are in the Gemara. It is, the last word in the line is afa, that's a divra maskel, afa lo kishtayim. And Rashi writes, afia gemar aricha hi. So the way Rashi understands it is that baking is the end of the arranging process. Okay? So that when you bake, encapsulated in that baking is really two things. Number one, the act of baking, right? Putting it in the oven is baking. Plus, the way Rashi understands it, it's also the end of aricha. Aricha is arranging, organizing, shaping it, molding it. Right? Baking is part of that process. I guess, according to Rashi, the way to understand it is that because before baking, it's kind of like a batter. And it will lose its shape if you don't bake it. So by baking it, you are solidifying it, you are hardening it, and therefore it's the end of the aricha process. That is the way Rashi understands it. Given a moment, I will quote Tosfos. But let's just finish, let's work our way through the Gemara based on Rashi's understanding.
So you
so,
have just one set of lashes then.
So the Gemara says, "V'ha amart ma'afia miyuchedes shehi ma'ase yechid v'chayaran v'la b'fnei atzma." So the Gemara says, "I don't understand, because previously when we talked about this, meaning getting lashes, the reason why you get lashes is because every act is a singular act. How can you say that baking is part of aricha? In order for it to be eligible for lashes, it has to be, to use the language of the Gemara, ma'ase yichidi. It has to be a singular act. So you're going to tell me that baking is also arranging, but if baking is also arranging, it doesn't then qualify as ma'ase yichidi, as a singular act. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. So the Gemara says, that's not a problem, because we'll say it like this. Hada arich hu v'afa hu. The Braisa that talks about arranging being a singular act, the Braisa is talking about the following. You, after the kneading process, you shaped it, you molded it, and then you gave it to me, and I put it into the oven. Then you're going to be eligible for your lashes, and I'll be eligible for my lashes. Right? Because each one of us did our own separate act. Ma she'ein kein, what Rav Papa is talking about, is where I did both. I did both the arranging and the baking. So, okay, that's the Gemara's answer. So now, right, if you think about it, it's just difficult. It's difficult to understand, according to Rashi. Rashi says, let's think this through. Rashi says that baking is really the end of aricha. It's the end of the act of shaping. So according to Rashi, what difference does it make if you arranged it and then handed it to me, or if I arranged it? Sof kol sof, when the day is over, my act of baking actually contains therein two actions. One action of baking and another action of arranging. And what the Gemara just said is that if you arrange and I bake, that's one law for you and that's one law for me. But according to Rashi...
It's one of the tendons.
Right. It shouldn't work out that way. And this is exactly what is bothering Tosfos. Look at the second to last Tosfos on the page. Afalokishtein, perish bekuntrus. All right, we'll do a little bit of this Tosfos together. De'afir gemar arichahi. That according to Rashi's understanding, the baking is actually ending the shaping process. Uparich v'amart ma'isi echida v'teima. My kamishani. So Tosha says, I don't understand the Gemara's answer according to Rashi. I just don't. Hada arach hava afa hu. Hada arach hava afa hu. Akati ma'isi echida mi alohave. I don't understand. Isn't the whole point that the Gemara is trying to make is that each act in of itself is ma'isi echidi? It's a singular act. And according to Rashi, how is the Gemara addressing that? It's not addressing it. Because baking is still an act of aricha. So Tosfos says, I just simply don't understand Rashi, because even when the Gemara presents its answer, which is, well, one person's arranging and the other person is baking. But still, according to Rashi, baking has aricha part of it.
The baker should get two and the shaper
right,
should get one.
Right. Or one, or maybe none.
Yeah, can it be argued that aricha is makabe bakish, essentially, the final act?
Yes, so, but if that's true, so then, but the orech, the one who's arranging, hasn't finished his act of aricha.
Correct.
Right. V'nir lefarish, so therefore, Tosfos says, I'd like to offer a totally different, not totally, but a different understanding of the Gemara. Lefarish lechayiv shtayim, that when Rav Papa says that for baking, you're going to be chayiv too, Mishum aricha mu'ete she'ose ha'ofe b'shas afia. Because, not like what Rashi says. Rashi says that baking is the conclusion of aricha. But no. When you bake, you will ultimately, inevitably, do a little bit of arranging. Meaning that before putting in the oven, you have to see how is this going to fit in the oven. Right? Where is it? Where am I? You know, and you may end up shaping it a little bit. Ve'ena gemar aricha. And it's not like what Rashi says. Not that baking is the end of the shaping process. But rather, that when you bake, you're going to ultimately end up arranging it a little bit. And now you understand the flow of the Gemara according to Tosfos. Because then the Gemara's next question was, wait a second, doesn't it have to be Maisi Yechidi? Umishani da'aruchu va'afahu klamar. Sha'asa gemar haricha shebesha'afiyah. So the Gemara says, yeah, so what exactly? You're going to be doing the arranging all the way up to the point where we're about to put in the oven, and then I actually put in the oven. Under those circumstances, you'll be chayav on the arranging and I'll be chayav on the baking. Okay, good. It flows a little bit better. The Gemara's give and take flows a little bit better. Whereas according to Rashi, baking is arranging, baking is shaping and molding. You don't really understand the whole give and take of the Gemara. And according to Rashi, it's hard to understand how then arranging is considered a ma'aseh yechidi. Okay? So, difficulty for Rashi. Certainly Rashi could use a defense. I don't have a defense for him right now. And we will not take... we'll move on to the Gemara. All right. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, great discussion coming up now, and this will start the discussion today, and we will continue the discussion tomorrow. We talk in terms of being chayav multiple times for basically taking a mincha and turning into chametz. Okay, so if I knead the dough, and while kneading, I allow the dough to expand, right? Because I take my sweet time in doing so. So you'll be chayav for making a mincha into chametz. Okay. And then somebody else comes along and starts shaping it. So he'll be chayav for allowing and assisting the mincha to become chametz. And then someone else comes along and bakes it, and he'll be chayav as well. So in other words, basically, every single one of those people, all three of those people that we just talked about, basically did the same thing. They aided and abetted the mincha into becoming chametz. And nevertheless, though, each person contributes to the chametzation. Okay, great word. Of the mincha, And so every one of them is going to have a liability. And the Gemara now is going to talk about, do we have this elsewhere in Halacha, where another person is coming along and just doing more of it, and yet you're going to be chayev. You're going to have just as much liability as the person before you in line. Right? So we're going to talk about it in different contexts in Halacha. We start off the discussion by Hatalas Mum, the Bechor, placing a blemish in a Bechor. A little bit of background. Bechor is just simply the firstborn animal. Firstborn animal is Matnas Kahuna, it's given to the Kohen. What does the Kohen need to do with the Bechor? So it is a carbon. It has Kedusha. Kedusha Meirechem. From the moment that it's born, even before that maybe, we'll talk about that when we get to Becharos, from the moment that it's born, it has Kedusha's carbon, and it has to be brought onto the Mizbech. So that means that what this Kohen has to do is he has to schlep to Yerushalayim, bring the animal on the Mizbech, and then and only then is the Kohen allowed to eat it. Okay. It's a bit of a schlep. And it consider it even further when there's no Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, so he doesn't even have anywhere to schlep to. Okay, so what then? So what happened? What he has to do, this Kohen who has received the Bechor as his Matnas Kohuna, he has to sit there and wait. And the animal, once it develops a blemish, a physical blemish that will not heal, then the Kohen can enjoy the carbon. But here's the catch. He can't put the blemish on the animal. Meaning there is an Issur in the Torah that the Kohen is not allowed to blemish the animal with his own hands, but it has to happen naturally. Meaning the blemish has to come from God. But he can't do it himself. So he's in one of those very awkward moments in life where he's dying for the animal to get a blemish on it, but he can't do it. Right? And when we get to Becharos, we'll talk about, you know, possible ways of inviting a blemish to come onto the animal. but he can't do it. Yeah, he can't do it, and another person can't do it as well.
What is the frequency of that happening, actually?
Right.
What the frequency of this?
You have the principle of Gira Chayis Toya.
Correct. And same thing also over there. But we talk about in the context of a Bechor, because a Bechor is going to... is something that happens all the time, and even without a Beis HaMikdash, you have an animal with Kedusha's carbon, and you have to wait. And here the case is going to get even more interesting, because I have my two cardiologists here. Okay, good. Because the Gemara is going to talk about a condition. It's called Achizas Dam. I don't know how to translate it into English, but basically there's some sort of coagulation of the blood. The animal circulation is at risk, right? Some hardening, thickening of the blood. Achizas Dam. And the way they treated it, like they treated everything back then, is bloodletting. Right? That was their answer. That was their solution to everything. Just bloodletting. Now, so this Kohen now who has an animal with this problem, with this condition of Achizas Dam, so now he has an unbelievable opportunity. Can you imagine now? Because finally he's allowed to poke and lance at the animal and actually cause a blemish, but understand, I'm only doing so to help the animal, to save the animal. I'm not doing so because the animal is going to be a bomb moment. It's going to be a blemished animal. So the Braisa will take us through four different opinions amongst the Tanaim. What to do if the Kohen's Bechor now has Achizas Dam? So Tana Rabbanan. Bechor she'achzu dam, and you're thinking to yourself, why are we doing this now? So, but the answer is going to be because it really is part of the discussion of doing something which is just adding to what was already been done. Okay, if I'm not clear, the Gemara will make it clear in just a moment.
But the question is that's the difference between status versus doing something. I mean, like when something is chametz, then status is chametz.
Right.
You're not making it more chametz.
Okay, so wait, please wait, because the Gemara is going to put it all together. Tanu Rabban Bechor She'achzu Dam. So you have a Bechor, a firstborn animal, and it's suffering from this condition of Achizas Dam. And you want to help the animal. Makizin Oso, it's a Dam Be'emakim She'ein Osim Bo'mum, Ve'im Makizin Oso Dam Be'emakim She'ein Osim Bo'mum, Divrei Meir. So Meir says, okay, you could bloodlet, but you got to pick your spot. And the spot you have to pick is a spot where the animal will heal. So in other words, you gotta you can pierce the animal and you could bloodlet the animal, but you can't go to a place where the animal will not regenerate. So as Rashi gives examples over here, Rashi says, let's say for example you can't cut the ear. Cutting the ear is not something that will grow back.
Okay.
Or Rashi gives another example, I poke it in the eye, right, and cause it to bleed from the eye. I know it sounds...
Not like
the gel. Right? It's not... You're not going to be hitting any major arteries. Okay. Rashi just gave that as an example. I'm just reporting over here. So you can't... Oh, really? Okay, so you can't. Let me get through the four opinions, and we'll pause, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. So that is that. So Rav Meir, that Shita's Rav Meir. So basically, Rav Meir says you can help the animal, but you can't help yourself, mm-hmm. right? You can bloodlet the animal, but not to your advantage. Okay, only to help the animal. The Chachamim says no. You can bloodlet in. You can pick whatever spot is going to be beneficial to the animal, and. And even a place that won't grow back. But the Chachamim says, but listen carefully. You can't eat the animal. Meaning, this piercing of the animal, even though it will cause the animal to become a Balmum, but you do not then have allowance to eat the animal. The animal's not considered a Balmum, even though it actually has a physical blemish. Okay, that's opinion number two. Opinion number three is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Nishkat, Al Oso Mum. Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, you know what? You can even shecht it. Meaning, okay, you ended up causing the animal to be a Baal Mum,
right.
But your intention wasn't to make the animal a Baal Mum. Your intention was just simply to help the animal. And Rashi connects this Rabbi Shimon to the Rabbi Shimon that we all know, the Rabbi Shimon of Davishena Miskavin. It wasn't my intention. And since it wasn't my intention, so therefore I can enjoy the animal. Should be thinking to yourself at this point in time, yeah, but isn't this a psik ratio? Isn't this something which inevitably will happen? And
not necessarily.
Okay, so a discussion within Rashi. Okay, but let's just go through the fourth opinion. Rav Yehuda Omer, Afilu Meis Ein Mekizin Ba'os Adam. And Rav Yehuda says, listen, I just simply don't care. Meaning, it will seem to us that he's very callous to the animal, right? But he says, look, when all said and done, I simply don't care. Don't touch the animal. Even if the animal is going to die, don't touch the animal. Rabbi Yehuda is so concerned about the fact that the Kohen will use this as an excuse to enjoy the animal. So Rabbi Yehuda says, simply do not touch the animal. Okay, so in the world of introducing a blemish to an animal, so there are four opinions. Tomorrow when we reconvene, we will talk about how this relates to the chametz of the mincha and the step-by-step process of chametz by a mincha, and the Gemara will connect the two and also introduce other concepts as well to this idea of adding to an already existing condition.